Good morning. It's good to be here with you all this morning. And I just want to start off by just thanking the Lord, obviously, for this opportunity to serve here at this church and among such wonderful people, and also to Pastor for this opportunity and privilege to be able to preach before you all this morning. I have to confess that he had come into the office a few weeks ago and he said, "Okay, you're preaching Sunday morning." I said, "Are you sure about that?" And he said, "You are." And so I was nervous even from the time that he had told me that, which was weeks ago, and even up to this week leading up to it, I was nervous. And every chance I got, I was looking over my sermon, making sure I was, you know, I had enough there and it was all good. And then we went out to help Pastor Colt, and every night I'd come home and I didn't realize that I was losing grip strength. And so the first night we finished, I tried to write and I was shaking the whole time. And so I was trying to figure out today, I was like, what did I write? And so I was interpreting my own handwriting, but we made it this far, so I'm thankful for this opportunity. And members and guests alike, I'm thankful that you've come this morning as well. And guests, if you're a first-time visitor, I'd like to encourage you and invite you to come back when our pastor is here. He would love to meet you and him and his wife both. So please come back when he's here. I know it'd be a blessing to him. If you take your Bibles and please turn to John chapter number 9, that's where we're going to be this morning, John chapter number 9. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to, by way of just introduction into the book, just to help us out here this morning, the book of John contains the written records of some of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed while on this earth, along with many other signs and wonders. Each miracle was not a random act. No, these were strategic, and Jesus did them to prove to everyone who witnessed them that he was the Messiah and God in the flesh. And these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name, as John chapter number 20, verse 31 tells us. And that was also the purpose John gave for why this book was written. Now, up to this point where we're going to be this morning in John chapter number 9, five miracles have been performed by Jesus Christ. And we will all bear witness of another miracle that will be performed this morning. Now, just to help us out where Jesus has been, he is at the beginning of chapter number 8. He was at the Mount of Olives, and he descended from there, and he went into the temple. And while he was there in the temple, he was interacting with the Jews there, and he made the Jews quite angry. In fact, he made them so mad that they took up stones ready to cast at him because he had told them that before Abraham was I am. And to them, he was claiming to be God, and to them, this was an egregious thing to say, and so they were frustrated with Jesus, and they were ready to stone him. And so we can understand that Jesus was not staying around long in the temple. He was on his way out. And as he leaves the temple, that's where we're going to catch him here in John chapter number 9, as he has exited the temple. So as we look to John chapter 9, we'll start in verse 1, and it says this. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." And then if you would please jump down to verse number 35. of the same chapter, verse number 35, it says this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. And they said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Has anyone here ever been looking for something that was right in front of them? Okay, I'll start with a simple one here, a general one. Glasses. I see a few here in this congregation that wear glasses. And has anyone ever lost your glasses? And usually the common thing is, you know, you put them on top of your head, or I'm sure most here in the congregation, we've all worn sunglasses at one point or another, and so you stick them on your shirt, or you put them at the edge of your nose. Sometimes you're wearing them, and you look around and you say, Has anyone seen my glasses? Or has anyone seen my sunglasses? I can't find them anywhere. And usually the response from a loving spouse is, if not glasses, what about keys? You know, your car keys, your house keys, you put them in a pocket, or maybe you're holding on to them and you're looking all around the place and you're going, Has anybody seen my keys? And then, oh, they're right here. Or maybe just in another pocket, one that you don't usually put them in. What about a phone? I mean, today most people here have iPhones. The flip phone is not non-existent, but many people don't have it. But iPhones, you know, you're looking for your phone, and sometimes it's in your hand, or you set it down somewhere and you walk away and you're looking all around and it's right there, and you're saying, Has anybody seen my phone? And you're asking. Now, my wife, from time to time, will set her phone down somewhere, walk off, and she'll go, Have you seen my phone? And I see where it's at, and I go, No, I don't know where it's at. To see if maybe she'll see it. But then she's got one of those Apple watches where it pings it for her. And so she's able to just ping where her phone's at and pick it up. But I too must confess that I've said, you know, Has anyone seen my phone? And then I'll say, Hey Siri, call my phone. Oh man. Then it's like, man, that was a good one. I'm sure at one point or another this has happened to us. I know as a child, I would usually be hungry, you know, a growing boy. I was looking for food, and so I would ask my mom, you know, what can I have to eat? And she'd say, Go to the fridge. There's usually, you know, apples, oranges. She would recommend vegetables, but as a kid, I wasn't looking for the healthy stuff. I was looking for the manna, the Krispy Kremes, the good stuff for a kid. And so I would open up the refrigerator and be looking all around and say, I don't see it anywhere. She would say, Have you moved stuff around? I don't see it anywhere. Usually my mother would come in and she would move, you know, two or three things and say, It's right here. And she would say, It was just right in front of you. You just didn't see it. Now, most of the time when we can't find something, we ask for help. That's usually what we do, get another pair of eyes on something. And sometimes the response we can get from those who help us is, Are you blind? It's right here. Now, we're not literally blind. We just didn't know what we were looking for or where it was. You know, if it's in the fridge somewhere, we don't know what we're looking for. Physical blindness is real, but spiritual blindness is just as real and sometimes can be more damaging to our lives and souls than physical blindness. As we have just read in the account of John, chapter number 9, we have just read how Jesus has left the temple, and he has left his way, and as he is going out, we find that there's a man who has been sitting, and this man has been blind from birth. And as they're walking by, it's interesting, the disciples notice him, and there was something that must have caught their attention, because they stop and they ask Jesus, who was it that sinned? Was it him, this man himself, or his parents? Now, they asked this question primarily based off what they knew about the Old Testament, because in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, the Bible speaks about those who do not hearken to the word of the Lord will be cursed. And one of those curses is blindness. And so we can understand they asked this question just based off of their prior knowledge of the Old Testament. And Jesus explains that it wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin that caused this blindness. Because as Romans chapter number 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all born into this world as sinners. Jesus says it wasn't the sin that causes blindness, but rather the works of God were going to be manifested through this man. The works of God were going to be revealed through this blind man. And sometimes God can bring things into our lives, trials, situations, difficulties, and we can get into these situations and wonder, why would God allow such a thing to happen to me in my life? Think of the story of Job. Job was an upright man who loved God, and he eschewed evil, and Job had bad things happen to him. And he wondered, what's going on in my life? Why is this happening? Now, Job didn't have that heavenly perspective to understand that God and the devil were talking, but we can understand from Scripture that Job faced hardship. And there are times that in our lives, that hardship, difficulty come into our lives, and we can say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? And it's unclear. But then God works his works in our lives. And we realize his will was being accomplished through us. And he reveals some things about our lives that maybe we never realized, and some things about him we've never realized before either. But through it all, when God accomplishes his work in our lives, one thing is for certain, he gets the glory, because we're the ones praising him for all that he's done in our lives. And Jesus, he points out to the disciples, no, it's not the sin of this man or his parents that has caused this blindness, but that God is going to do a work through him. And he also demonstrates to his disciples his urgency to accomplish the work of God while he was on this earth. For these people back in this time, they could only work a certain amount of hours in the day. They did not have these nice fancy floodlights with generators to work all through the night. No, they could only work when the sun was up till the sun was down. They could only work when the light of the world was shining upon it. Because it's hard to work in darkness. And as the Bible says, you'll trip, you'll stumble. You can't work in darkness. And these men were stumbling because they didn't have the light of the world. And Jesus is the light of the world, as he has declared. And while we have the light of the world, we must redeem it, because the times are evil. As Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 16 tells us. And as long as Jesus is in the world, he's the light of the world. He's the light that needs to be shed abroad in darkness. Many are blind and need the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine upon them, as 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 tells us. And Jesus was busy with his Father's work. He is the light that the world needed. People need the light. People need Jesus Christ, because we walk in darkness. And these people, they were stumbling because they didn't know where they were going. They didn't have the light of Christ in their life. They were tripping around. And Jesus told them this, that he is here to accomplish the work of his Father. And as he concludes, so he then sits down and he spits in the dirt and he makes clay and he anoints the blind man's eyes. And after doing so, he tells the blind man to go to the pool of those who are sent, the pool of Siloam. And the blind man had enough faith to believe in something he couldn't see. And blessed are they that have not seen yet believed. And after being obedient, he goes and he washes his eyes in that pool. Can't you imagine the excitement on his face? for years. He's been born and it's been utter darkness in his life. He has not been able to see the sun rise nor the sun set. The blue skies, the crystal clear waters, the green grass, the green trees, the birds. And then this man named Jesus comes up and covers his eyes in clay and wipes him in the pool. I mean, it must have been breathtaking for him. I can imagine a tear running down his face as he beholds the glory of God's creation. Man, I haven't seen anything like this before. And after he does so, we had read about how he leaves and he's making his way back, and there are the neighbors that have known him. They see him and they start to wonder, is that the blind man that used to beg on the corner there? Because before, that's all they had seen, is this blind man stumbling around trying to find his way. But this man looks like him, but he's not stumbling around in darkness. He's not using a cane to try and guide his way. He knows exactly where he's going. And these neighbors, they start to wonder, is that him? No, I don't think that's him. Well, let's just ask him. And so they do so. And he tells them, it is I. Not only that, but this once blind man, told them about Jesus and how he gave him his sight. Like what Brother Colin preached about on Wednesday, how the blind man used his personal testimony to share what Jesus did in his life, and that's what he did here before his neighbors. He said, let me tell you about this man named Jesus who came up to me and covered my eyes, and he told me to go to the pool, and now I can see. And his neighbors wanted to know where he was and, you know, where did he come from? He couldn't answer that. I don't know. Now, all of this that had taken place, just to make note, occurred on the Sabbath day. We'll touch on that here in a moment, but with the neighbors not knowing where this man Jesus had come from, they take this blind man to the Pharisees, believing that these men who know the law and know what has taken place in the Word of God, that they might have some understanding of who this man is that the blind man is speaking of. Who is this Jesus? And so they bring him before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees ask the blind man how he received his sight. And so that blind man tells him. And the Pharisees, just hearing about this man Jesus, they begin to accuse him of not being of God and being a sinner. Now, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God. The Pharisees accused him of not being of God because he did not keep the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day, we must remember, is just a day of observation, a day of remembrance, of memorial, kind of like a Memorial Day for us coming up. It's a day to remember. In the Old Testament, it was taught that a person could not work on the Sabbath. But in Mark chapter number 2, verse 27, it says this, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, they saw a problem with this but Jesus Christ, he did not, because he was a fulfillment of the law. And as Mark chapter number 2, verses 22 through 28 speak of, Jesus also claimed this, that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So he saw nothing wrong with this. And not only did the Pharisees accuse him of not being of God, but others accused him of being a sinner. They didn't know who they were talking about. They were making assumptions before even meeting Jesus. And these questions, they caused division among the people, and so it caused this problem. And so they asked the blind man once again, who healed you? Who is this man Jesus? And this once blind man, he's a prophet. I mean, think about it. That would be the only thing that could make sense to him. He's blind. He can't see this man Jesus in front of him. But maybe just by hearing the interaction between Jesus and his disciples, he figured out, well, this man is speaking of the work of God being accomplished. The only logical thing that can make sense is he's a prophet. And after he told them this, the Jews still didn't believe it. In fact, they did not only believe that, but they didn't believe that this blind man had actually been blind from birth. And so they called for his parents to come. And his parents came and they wanted them to verify, is this your son? Has he been blind from birth? And they said, yes, this is our son. Yes, he's been blind from birth, but we don't know how he received his sight. To that we cannot answer. But from there, the parent said this, ask. He is of age. He can answer for himself. Now, according to the custom of the day, when a boy turned 13 years old, that was considered the age of entering into manhood, so to speak, and becoming known as a son of the law. And he was at the age of legal responsibility in the Jewish custom. So obviously we know he's not younger than 12, he's 13 and above. So he's a young man and a man nonetheless. So he can answer for himself. And the parents told him to answer for himself because they were scared of the law, which was that if a person confessed that they were the Christ, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And so they feared the Jews because of this. And a good testimony is important. So they called for this blind man to come to them once again. And before they asked this blind man once again about this man Jesus, the Pharisees said this. They said, give to God the praise, which was just a symbol or an oath, for instance. If we were to enter into a courtroom and you were an eyewitness on a case, you would stand before the judge and the judge would say, raise your right hand, and you would confess, or you would say that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is what the once blind man was to do, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then the Pharisees said, give us an oath. We know that this man is a sinner. And this blind man confirmed what he knew. He didn't know if that man Jesus was a sinner or not. But what he did know is, whereas he was blind, now can he see. And the Pharisees, they asked him to tell him again, what happened? Who is this man? And the re-asking of the Pharisees' question revealed their lack of understanding and belief in Jesus. They didn't know about Christ, who he was, or where he came from. But the blind man reveals some great truths. Because in verses number 30 through 34, the blind man reveals this, that a marvelous thing had been done, but they don't know who this man is, but he knows this, he was able to open his eyes. And God doesn't hear sinners, but he does hear those who worship him and do his will. God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. And since the world began, no man has ever heard about a blind man receiving his sight, at least not until today. And this blind man then testified this, there's no man that could do this. There's only one person, and that's God. Only God could cause a blind man to see. And when the Pharisees heard all this, they reviled him and they were mad at him. And in fact, when they had heard this, they accused him of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they said, you are a disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Now the Pharisees, they prided themselves on being disciples of Moses. And Moses was one who upheld the law. And he also represented a covenant given by God. But the law of Moses really wasn't Moses' law, because when we think about it, God gave Moses the law. So really, it's the law of God, which many of them failed to be obedient to. And so this blind man, he tells them these great truths about God, and it's here that they become mad at him, these Pharisees. And when they heard this, they told him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. We don't want to hear what you have to say anymore. And by this time, Jesus arrives. And God's timing is always perfect. Because Jesus comes and he confirms the testimony of this once blind man. And he declares who is really blind. And Jesus, he finds this blind man out there cast out. And he comes up to him and asks him a very important question. He says, do you believe on the Son of God? And this once blind man, who can now see, says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Can you just imagine that interaction there? As Jesus says, you're talking to him. And when this once blind man saw Jesus, He believed, and he worshiped him. From there, then Jesus goes on to reveal his purpose. As we had just read, he talks about for judgment, he has come into this world to bring sight to the blind. He is here to do the will of his Father. And part of the Father's will was committing judgment to his Son. And as John chapter number 3, verse 17 says, for God sent his Son, or sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, a judge is someone who determines the final sentence, the final verdict for someone who has committed a crime. Jesus is the divine judge who came to this world to declare that he is the light that shines in darkness. And he is the light that shines on all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he is the light that reveals to all men that our deeds are evil and that we need the Savior. And Jesus came into this world to give sight to those who cannot see. Jesus came to do what no man could do. And this response that Jesus gave caused the Pharisees to reflect in their own personal lives, because the question is asked, well, then are we blind? Jesus gives this response to them, that the Pharisees have become blind, and we too have become blind. Because Jesus explains this, that if they were blind, if they were physically blind, then they would be ignorant of the sins that they committed, because they could not see, they would not know that they were sinning. And so this blind man, for instance, he was blind, he could not read, he could not know, so he may have been ignorant to the sins that were committed, or that ignorant to the sins and to the laws, and so therefore he would have no sin. But since the Pharisees knew the law and claimed to live according to it, but they didn't, their sin remained. So to speak, they became nose blind to it. You know the old commercial there where, you know, we become nose blind to things and the couch turns into a smelly dog, and then you put Glade or something like that? You put the thing in and everything smells good again. They became nose blind to their own sin. They were overlooking it. And we can become nose blind to our own sin in our life as well. Now you could say, well, I didn't know better than to sin. Well, before you all, as Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no ignorance now that we are all sinners and that we need a Savior. But the Pharisees overlooked that. They thought they were better than this blind man because their self-righteousness made them more right than the blind man. But before God, all of our unrighteousness is as filthy rags. It wasn't the blind man who was spiritually blind. It was the Pharisees. It's us who have become spiritually blind. They knew the law, but they were stumbling around in their own spiritual darkness. The Pharisees failed to see what the blind man was able to believe. The blind man realized his condition and need for the Savior. The Pharisees, they failed to see their sin's condition and need for the Savior. The Pharisees' sin remained because they became blind to their own sin. And we can allow sin to remain in our lives and overlook it, become blind to it. And when we become spiritually blind to sin, we become spiritually blind to our need for the Savior. Sometimes we miss what's right in front of us, the beam in our own eye. So if you're here today, and you've never called upon God to save you from your sin, today could be that day of salvation. The Lord has passed you by like the blind man, and the need for salvation is great. And so I ask, if you've never put your faith and trust in Him, will you today? We walk in too much darkness. And we need the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. And there's many who have never met him or known him, but Jesus wants to set you free. And if you are saved, have we become like the Pharisees? Are we blind to our own sin and disobedience to God? The Savior has passed us by. The truth has been revealed to us. And every time we come when the doors are open to church, the Savior passes us by. And the truth is revealed to us. The light is illuminated on our evil deeds and on our acts. But we can be like the Pharisees. I'm good, God. Everything's good here in this man. You can pass me by. Will you continue stumbling in darkness? Or will you get things right with the Lord? Because as 1 John chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17 say, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of his the will of God, abideth forever." So what will you do when the Savior passes you by? Will we continue stumbling around in our own spiritual darkness? Or will we see our need for Christ and the light that needs to be shed into our lives? Now, for those who are obedient to God, I can't tell you who is and who is not. That's between you and the Lord. Continue to be faithful to Him. Continue walking in the light. Continue doing what's right. And don't allow the darkness to come in. And don't allow yourself to become blind to the wickedness that's there. Because like I said, spiritual blindness can cause more damage to our life and soul than physical blindness. And not only that, but I just thought about this morning, it can affect others too. Our own spiritual blindness can cause us to overlook our own sin, and that sin can affect others. And then it can cause more problems. So I ask you today to examine your hearts and to see if there is any such spiritual blindness. And I pray that we ask God to reveal it to us and to remove it from our lives so that we can be used of God in great and mighty ways. Let's pray. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day and this message that you've brought and that you've used in my life, Lord, and I pray for each and every one here, God, that, Lord, if there is such spiritual blindness in my life or in anyone's life here, that, Lord, we would not continue in our ways, continue to be blind, that you would reveal it to us and help us, Lord, to get it right between you and us so that we can have a restored relationship and fellowship with you. And, Father, would you please be with this invitation? In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd please join me in standing hymn 450.